And today I want to begin a series entitled Teachings of Jesus. Teachings of Jesus. Say that with me. Teachings of Jesus. And we'll be doing some very important teachings that help to solidify the way that we are to live. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the plan of God that has been set up for us. How many know God has a plan for you? And his plan is, where is his plan? It's in his word. And in order for us to be blessed, Jesus says, man shall not live but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want you to notice how precise he was. He says, every word. How many words? So we can't choose to do some things and not others, because what happens with that is we fall into deception. And in the book of James, it says, let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord, because he chooses to fall into deception. Now, fasting, and today today we'll be talking about fasting, one of the teachings of Jesus. Fasting joined with prayer has been a practice of God's people, the Jews, and born-again believers for centuries. Fasting is essential to the growth of our spiritual lives. It is essential to score victories. If you want to be an overcomer, you got to put time into fasting. And what does fasting do? Well, first of all, when you fast, you're expressing humility before God. You're saying, you know, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm not able to overcome things by myself. It's really an act of humility. It also expresses repentance, where you realize that, you know, your life is not perfect, and there are things that happen in your life that you need to bring before God, because he's the only one that, see, there is no one else that can heal your sins, that can cleanse your sins. The only one that can cleanse your sins is the blood, is Jesus Christ and his blood. And so this is one of the things that happens when we fast. We express repentance before God. We also express dependence upon God, that God is my strength, God is my deliverer, God is my provider. And all this comes into being as we fast before God. Fasting expresses the fact that you are serious about God. You know, you have to be pretty serious to turn your plate down for 2 or 3 days. It's not something that you do just because, you know, you're going through a casual situation, unless you're doing a diet of some sort. And every time that fasting takes place, God does special things. Say special things. One of the things that happens when you fast is revelation comes, vision comes, direction comes, winning blessings come. And so that's why we fast. The Bible lets us know that Moses received the Ten Commandments while he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in Exodus chapter 34. And in the book of Acts chapter 13 to verse 14, we learn that the miracle, the sign and wonders, miracles of Paul and Barnabas was birthed through fasting. The Bible says that the leaders of the church fasted and prayed, and as they did, this wonderful ministry was birthed. So if you want certain things to be birthed in your life, you got to take time and turn that plate down. You want to see certain blessings that you have not seen before? When you turn your plate down, you're setting yourself up for something special, for winning blessings. The Bible says that the church again fasted and prayed, and God gave them direction to send Barnabas and Paul to the as missionaries. And the rest is history. Through that one direction that God gave them, the gospel was spread throughout the world. And we are the beneficiaries of that. And so it's important to know. And by the way, the early church had a practice of fasting 2 days a week. They would fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. And so God has this wonderful treasure. He has this volume of things that he wants to do for us. He has blessings that he wants to give to us. There are things that he has set up just for you. And if you can just get a hold of them, you will be better for it. How many want to be winners? Well, all you have to do is get a hold of God's plan for you. How many want to be, want to be the head and not the tail? Well, all you have to do is get a hold of God's plan for you. And I want you to know that God does have plans to take you to the top. God has plans to make you the head and not the tail, to keep you above and not beneath. God has the plan. The plan is in his word. And all you have to do is embrace the fact that God has something special for me. See, so many of us are down, down on ourselves, and we're down, and depressed because we don't see much hope, and we don't see much of a future. We don't see ourselves getting out of this, of the situations that we're in. But I want you to know that the God you serve, before you were born, before you were even thought of, he predestined for you to be blessed when you go in and to be blessed when you go out. He predestined that you would be blessed in everything that you do. So today, rather than feeling sorry for yourself, begin to take a hold of the promises of God that wants to take you to the next level. And there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It's a beautiful scripture that tells us about the special things that God has for us. Now, let's read that together. Find it, and then let's read it together. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I want you to know that there is a reservoir of blessings. God has a mountain of good things that he wants to do for you. And he's given it to us here in his word. Are you ready? It says, but as it is written, read it with me, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? God has prepared some blessings for you. God has some promotions for you. God has some top spots for you. God has some wonderful things. And you know what? He says that what he has prepared for you will make you a winner. Sometimes we fail to understand that, you can do everything in your power. You can go to school and you can get the highest grades and get the best degrees. But, there are people who have all that and they're still at the bottom. And so sometimes you need a little bit more than just the natural things that you can get on your own. You need a power that's greater than yourself to take you to the next level. And the Bible says that God has blessings for you. God has prepared some wonderful things for you that no human being can find or can even get a hold of. You can't get these blessings at a university. You can't get these blessings by going to motivational speaker. What God has for you, he has prepared for you. And the only way to get it is you got to get it from him. It is in his arena. And the interesting thing about this, it says that these things which God has prepared for us, he's prepared for those who love him. So it's not enough just to be a casual Christian. We have to love him. Now, loving Jesus is not just an emotional thing. Jesus says in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the way that God, analyzes our love for him is not so much how we say, God, I love you. I love God and all that. Anybody can say that. But God says, do my word. Be obedient to my word. And so I want you to know that the blessings that God has for you, as you fast and you pray, God will begin to release some of those blessings into your life. And so what is it that you need God to do this morning? God is ready to release it. And God will release it as we seek the Lord through fasting and prayer. Because I want you to know that sometimes we put a lot of faith in things and products and people. There are promoters out there that are there to try to help people get ahead. I want you to know that what God has for you, no promoter is able to touch it. So even if you trust the promoter, he cannot access these blessings that God has for you. The blessings that we're talking about here are not accessible to academicians, and it's not accessible to deal makers. There are all kinds of people, who would try to help you. I'm trying to tell you that these blessings, only God can give them to you. Only God can release them to your life. Only God can make them available. And all we have to do is seek the Lord. If we wait, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. I want you to know that God has a blessing that is so great that once you tap into it, you will find that your life will rise to the top. You won't have to look around your shoulders and wonder and be jealous of other people, because what God has for you, nobody can take away. And by the way, what God has for you, nobody can get it from God but you, because it's made for you. It's tailor-made for you. It comes by divine and supernatural doing. It's his wisdom. And the thing about these blessings is that you don't want to blow it, because if you blow it, you're going to fall way behind. That's why there are people who are living their lives and they're going through. And no matter what they do, things just don't ever work out the way it's supposed to. But I want you to know that Jesus spoke about in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verses 25 to 29. But I'm just going to hit the last verse for a minute. It says that Jesus mentioned fasting. And he mentioned the significance and importance of fasting. The disciples in this story here were disturbed that they could not cast out this unclean spirit or deaf and dumb spirit out of this boy. The father had brought this little boy to the disciples, you know, because of the fact that this unclean spirit would cause this boy to smash himself into walls and smash himself onto the ground, and therefore hurting himself. Every time that spirit would come upon him, it would cause the child to want to just damage and hurt himself. And so Jesus, when the disciples came to Jesus, they said, listen, why could not we cast out this devil? And Jesus said in verse 29, this kind does not go but by fasting and prayer. There's some spiritual battles that you're going to face that you will only win through fasting and prayer. Now, again, fasting to me is not something that I get excited about. But you know what? But I know it's important and significant enough if I am going to win some battles. There are some situations that are in your life that are not going to move. They're not going to be shaken until you go before God in fasting and prayer. And, you know, whenever we fast, it's not enough just to fast. You have to pray. See, some people fast, but, you know, you might as well just go on a simple diet because it's not enough. It never says just fast. It says fasting and prayer. And so there are battles that are set up. There are battles that we're going to face. There are situations. And Jesus in John 10:10 said this: the thief comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. So the spiritual battle is already set up. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so the Bible says that the devil is on his job. He's doing his job, trying to bring you down, trying to destroy you, trying to make sure that you don't make it. And as a result, many times he steals our peace. And, you know, and instead of being in peace that God has given to us, you know, our minds are tormented. You know, we can't sleep. We're worrying all the time. I want you to know that there's spiritual battles set up that are trying to take away your peace, trying to take away your sanity. And the devil has come also to rob us of our prosperity. You know, sometimes you can't seem to get ahead. You know, something comes good, a little, maybe an income tax check, or maybe, you know, some special bonus comes. And then at the same time, something comes to take it away. I mean, you figure, hey, man, I'm about to get ahead. And then some calamity takes place. And all of a sudden, what you thought you had that was going to take you to the next level puts you right back. But I want you to know that it's not an accident. It's not an accident that the devil brings these things, because that's what he does. He comes to kill. He comes to steal. And he comes to destroy. And sometimes the devil attacks us through criticism. You know, people will just start criticizing us or putting us down for no reason. They start showing us a bad face. And you kind of wonder, where did this come from? Sometimes it's not the person, it's the devil that's working in the person to bring about this sort of thing. Because the devil does not like you. He has no... And the interesting thing about, as we look at humanity, sometimes, you know, we think the devil is cool. He's as cool as trying to kill you. He's as cool as trying to destroy you because he has no intention of keeping you alive if possible. And the devil sometimes comes and brings sickness in our bodies and in the bodies of our children, migraine headaches and high blood pressure and diabetes and all these different things, because he understands that these things that he brings upon us, the only way that we can solve them is not through medical means, is not through a doctor, is not through a philosopher or sociologist. We need the power of God to break the power of the enemy. And that's why the Bible says that Jesus says some things are not going to go except if you turn your plates down. You know, we got to turn our plates down. Sometimes, you know, the curry goat, as nice as it is, you got to say no to it. Sometimes, you know, collard greens and whatever else, and what is it? And oh, mac and cheese, okay, and fried chicken. All these things, you got to turn them down. And I tell you right now, it's not going to kill you. Trust me, it might even do good, something good for you. But the interesting thing is that you have to be willing to take some time to seek the Lord. And every time that you seek the Lord, I want you to know God is going to come through for you. And so while the enemy is mounting up trouble for you, while the enemy is mounting up disaster for you, I want you to know that Jesus said this in that verse. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but guess what? I've come. Oh, you didn't get that one. He says, while he's doing what he's doing, I'm not standing there idle. He says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So I want you to know that God is all, while the enemy is working, God is working just as much. And if you're a child of God, the enemy will not have the last word on your life. If you serve the Lord Jesus Christ and you decide to make him first, see, that's the other thing that's important. You know, Jesus, when he asks us, when he invites us to come to him, he doesn't just invite us to accept him as Savior. You know, oh, we don't want to go to hell. I'm telling you right now that heaven will not be full of people who are just up there because they want to escape hell. Because they wouldn't like heaven. Because heaven is made for people who love God. And so it's important that when we accept him, he must become not only Savior, but Lord. We sing a song that says, if he's not Lord of everything, guess what? He's not Lord at all. And that's in that scripture in the book of Matthew, where it talks about many in that day will say, have I not done this in your name? And have I not done that in your name? Did we not pray for the sick? Did we not usher? Did we not? And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. Here's the interesting thing about that. He says, I never knew you. See, some people come to the altar, you know, and they come. Sometimes they come because they're just depressed, and because, you know, they got caught, or because the situation turned out bad, and you know, and they go through the whole motions of it. But you see, that's not what saved you. That's human sorrow. You're just sorry because things are going bad. You're sorry because you got caught. You're sorry because everything got messed up. That's not the kind of sorrow. The Bible calls that human sorrow. He says, but only godly sorrow works repentance. See, the godly sorrow is the one that says, God, I'm sorry about these sins. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of these things that I've committed against you. It's godly sorrow says, God, you know what? I want to serve you. I want you to cleanse me, because starting today, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. See, and that's why when these folks come up to Jesus, he's going to say, yes, you came to the altar. Yes, you work in the church. But you know what? I never knew you because you never gave me your heart. But I want you to know that as we move, and we're going to be doing some extra fasting in this month, because we want to set ourselves up for those special blessings that we're talking about. God has special blessings. I want you to know that God, you know, many of us are in different industries and so on. God wants you to be the head of your industry. Listen, there are people here in our church that are going to, that with the help of God, they are going to write songs that are going to win a Grammy for the year. There are people in this church right now that are going to write books that are going to be New York Times number one bestsellers. There are people that are sitting here that are going to rise from a low position on their job to a CEO position. You're going to become the manager. You're going to become the supervisor. And along with it, there's going to come the money that you need. It is the will of God that we prosper and be in health even as our souls prosper. And so, and now there's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6. Turn there with me. Isaiah 58 and verse 6. And this is the verse that talks about the kind of fast that God wants us to have. It's not just going through the routine of a fast, but it's going, understanding that we need to fast the way God ordained for us to fast. And so Isaiah 58 and verse 6 is a powerful verse. Now, let's read that with me, and then we're going to go back to and look at some of the things. Are you ready? You have it? Okay, if you have it, say amen. Traditionally, right? Let's go. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Say, break every yoke. Look at your neighbor and says, break every yoke. See, the fast that God has chosen is a fast of deliverance. It's a fast of breakthrough. It's a fast of victory. See, when you begin to fast the way God wants you to fast, it defeats every plan of the enemy against you. Ah, you didn't get that one. Listen to me. You're in this room here, and you're saying the enemy is coming in like a flood. You need to understand that he can come in like a flood all he wants to, but God has a plan to defeat every attack that the enemy is bringing against you. You can stand up today and you can look to the Lord and say, God, this thing that the enemy has started will not prosper against me. I want you to know that I don't care how he comes. He can come from the left or the right. He can come from your blind side. I want you to know that God has encamped around you his blessings and protections. And if you will only look unto the Lord from whence cometh your help, you're going to win the battle against the enemy. Listen, I don't care what he does. He can come any way he wants to. And so God is going to destroy every weapon that he forms against you. And you notice that the Bible says every weapon formed against you. Just like God has tailor-made blessings in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Well, I want you to know the devil has tailor-made traps. Tailor-made attacks. When the devil is attacking you, he doesn't use general attacks. He knows exactly what you're vulnerable to. He knows exactly what you're going through. And therefore, he knows how many know that when the enemy comes, he comes good. Because he does his due diligence. He knows that this thing will annoy you. He knows this thing is going to turn you, you're going to make you mad. And as a result, he brings it against you. But that's why the Bible says that no weapon that the devil forms against you. It doesn't matter how great he was at making this weapon. God is going to dismantle it as it comes your way. Instead of hitting you and knocking it down, it's going to go back in his direction and send him back to hell from whence he comes from. He will freeze every attack. Some point he will freeze the attack against you. See, and I want you to know that the Bible says that this fast that God has chosen is going to break every yoke. Not some yokes, but every yoke. Now, that raises the question, well, what is a yoke? Well, and the Bible talks about yokes in the New Testament, but a yoke was a device that was used to harness animals together. It was something that brought them, brought them together, and as a result, they had no choice in the matter. And as a matter of fact, they're going to put a picture up there so you can see some oxen or animals that are yoked together so you haven't. No, you don't. Leave it on. Sorry. Put it on. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Turn that one off. Just look for a minute. You see that? You see that? That harness there is called a yoke. It's something that brings these animals together, and therefore they lose their independence. They lose their freedom. They can't go graze where they want to. They can't go graze where they want to. They can't go eat where they want to. They can't go sleep, when they want to by themselves. They can't even poop by themselves. Everything has to be done with this yoke around them. And so what happens is that this yoke causes them, to have no freedom to do anything that they want. They just can't, go through the land and just be on their own. And God in Isaiah 58 and verse 6 is saying that we have yokes that need to be broken. We are also yoked. Why? Because when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, what he does when he comes is he yokes you. He yokes you to different things. He yokes you to depression. And so no matter what you do, you can't seem to get out of this spirit of being down. He yokes you to poverty. And no matter what you do, you get a job, they give you a raise, and you're still broke after it's over. And the reason why you don't understand what's happening is because the yoke, you're yoked to a satanic thing, and anything that you're yoked to controls you. Once you're yoked to that thing, it controls you. You don't control it. And so there are people, you know, who are yoked to stress. It seems like that everything happens, you know, everything comes and it comes in a bad way. And so their blood pressure goes up and they get migraine headaches and they're tired all the time. There's some people who are yoked to poor health. It seems like when you seem to be getting out of one sickness, the doctor finds another one and finds another one. And it seems as if you just can't get out of this situation. And sometimes you think it's just a natural cause, but I want you to know you're yoked to a satanic oppression. And as a result, you can't get out of it. And some people are yoked to witchcraft. And we think of witchcraft as somebody having a voodoo doll, but witchcraft comes in the arena of people who like to get drunk. You know, they like the feeling of being high. That's witchcraft because it alters your mind and you cannot think properly. And as a result, there are people whose thinking is not going right because they're yoked to witchcraft. They're yoked to the enemy. And I want you to know that these yokes are not there, you know, just to spend a little time with you. They're there to destroy you. The longer they stay there, the more the devil is going to destroy. So that's why the Bible says if you would fast unto God, God will break every yoke. Are you tired of being under stress? Are you tired of being depressed all the time? Well, guess what? If you will turn your plates down and begin to seek the Lord, God will break that yoke over you. Some of you are you know, I mean, you have been struggling with finances forever. It seems as if no matter what you do, no matter what kind of job you get, but what is it? The problem is that you're yoked to the enemy's spirit of poverty and the spirit of lack. And what you need is not another job. What you need is not another raise. You need to get God to break that yoke so that you can begin to be ahead and not the tail. So you can be above and not beneath. So that you can live in the blessings that God has prospered, prepared for you. As we look at this scripture, God wants to break not some yokes. He wants to break every yoke. And so if you're battling with some disease in your body, if the doctors have given you up, I want you to know that let them give you up. But I want you to know that there's a God who can break that yoke today. You can have your healing in this room. Why? Because the Bible says, by his stripes, I'm healed. And you know the reason why you can, that yoke of a financial burden can be taken off of you this morning? Because Jesus says, I will supply all your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so, you see, the reason why I'm doing this series is because we got to get serious with God. And you know, whenever God sends messages like this, he sends these messages so that we can begin to take advantage of what he wants to do. You see, the word of God is quick and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. You can use anybody, you know, you can go to people to try to help you, and you can go to, you know, to specialists, but I want you to know that what you need this morning is for God to break the yoke, because that yoke, that satanic yoke that has you yoked to the enemy is causing you to lose, it's causing you to be set back, but I want you to know today that God is ready to break the yoke of bondage. Listen, every yoke that's over your life, I mean, and some of us, you know, as we're sitting here, we're looking, and some of you are getting ready to retire, you're looking at it and saying, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You see, that's what the devil wants to do, to get you to the point where you're yoked to stress and worry. But God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of a sound mind, a spirit of love. I want you to know that if God can take care of the grass of the field that's here today and gone tomorrow. Listen, aren't you better than grass? And so God wants to give you the kind of blessings that will make you rich and without the stress. God wants to bless you so that when you go out, you're blessed, and when you come in, you're blessed. God wants to bless you so that when people look upon you and says, you know what kind of God are you serving? I want to serve that God. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God wants to, see the fast that God is talking about. Look at it again. It says to lose the bonds of wickedness. You know what that is? That there are certain sins in our lives that we're yoked to. And, you know, we try to stop doing this and we try to stop doing that, this sin and that sin, but we can't seem to do it. I want you to know that God wants to take that yoke of sin that's attached to you so that you can begin to live the life that he has promised you. I want you to know that the Bible lets us know very clearly that when you serve the Lord and when you serve God with all your heart, God is going to bring good things in your life. He's going to work out all kinds. All things are going to work out together for your good. Because what sin does is it robs you of your communication with God. Every time you sin, your communication with God is broken. And what sin does, and what the devil wants to do, is keep you yoked to that sin. And I'm telling you, you can fight it all you want, and you can try to do it. Listen, I'm not going to do it again, and you'll do it again tomorrow. You know why? Because you need the Son of God to set you free. You need him to break that yoke that causes you. Every time that you say you're not going to do that sin, you go back to that same exact sin. Because you need the Son to set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you're going to be free indeed. I want you to know that today God wants you to be a winner. God wants you to be a winner. And so as we look at the scripture, it's important to note that God wants to break the bonds of wickedness. Also, too, he wants to undo the heavy burdens. How many of you are carrying some burdens, stuff that is really high? I mean, it's weighing upon your life. Well, God wants to undo the heavy burdens. Listen, I don't care what the burden looks like. If God says he can undo the burden, then God can undo the burden. But all we got to do is turn that plate down a little bit. You know, it's okay. Listen, you're going to be just fine. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying to you that's important. And the other thing that's essential whenever you're fasting like this. See, when God spoke of fasting in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. See, it's essential that we understand the power that comes when we're gathered together in his name. That's what the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus says what? Here I am in the midst. Listen, the phone thing is nice, but you know what? There's nothing like when you come together with God's people. And the power of God is resurrected and things begin to happen. And so it's essential that as we fast and pray and whatever days we have set, that you begin to put that time aside. You know what? If you're waiting for the time to become available, you're going to be waiting forever because the devil is never going to make you have time. You got to make time for God, just like we make time for everything else that we like. And so it's essential. And so as we look at the Word of God, God wants to undo the heavy burdens. Listen, you know, there's no need for you to leave this place with the burden that you came in with. There's no need for you to leave this place, you know, weighed down by situations and stress and all that. I want you to know that if we'll begin to trust God and hold him to his word, everything he's promised will come to you. I love the scripture that says that Psalms 34 verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So I want you to know that if you're a Christian, you ought to rise up and say, I know that today, this is where this thing ends. I'm no longer going to carry this burden with me because but the Bible says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And so this morning, as we look at the week to come, you know, this is not even on the schedule, but the Spirit of God just directed me that this week we're going to do another 3 days of consecration beginning on Tuesday, from Tuesday to Thursday, and we're going to come to pray from 7 to 8 o'clock every night. I want you to put aside the time. See, here's the thing to me. If you know that God can break the yoke of bondage through fasting and prayer, why are you not making the time for it? What is more important? And listen, the year that's unfolding before us. See, if God is for us, listen, if God is for us, if God is going to be with us, if God is going to help us win the battle, then who can be against you? There is no enemy that's bigger and greater than the power of God that works in you. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want you to know that when Jesus, the God that's in you, the God of love, the God of power, the God of strength, the God of courage, the God of hope, I want you to know that when you allow that God to come out of you, I want you to know that you begin to walk in victory. The Bible says the steps of a good man are directed by the Lord, and God delights in his way. You want God to take pleasure in you? Begin to do things his way. You know, the psalmist says, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Listen to me. It's time to get a hold of the promises of God. It's time for those yokes to come off. That yoke of sickness, yoke of depression, yoke of broke, yoke of fear, yoke of stress. Those things have to come off so that we can begin to live in liberty. See, it's the will of God that we prosper and be in good health even as our souls prosper. So whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You want to be free? Let the Son set you free. You know, you can look to people all you want to. You can look to, you know, to different ones that you think have answers. But I want you to know, look unto the Lord from whence cometh your help. Because your help comes from the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a moment.